Welcome to the Business Chop Podcast, where our guests speak on meeting the challenges of entrepreneurship, as well as offer tips and advice on business, marketing, technology, and more. Whether you are a newbie or a seasoned professional, this episode is for you. I am your host, Audrey Wiggins.
Let's chop it up.
Hello, Chop Squad. Audrey Wiggins here, your host, and our guest today is Kareem Karashny, and he is from everywhere. Okay, he's a very interesting background. Right now, he's in Malaysia. He's from France, but he'll get into that concept of living and working wherever. All right, so he's got 13 plus years experience in sales and management across North America and France in his early career. And he found his true calling in launching new ventures, creating systems and processes and business development at large. He defines himself as an entrepreneur more than a business owner. And the one tip that is up and running, So once a business is up and running, he feels the need to move on to the next project. That's something, another concept that we should really consider. Kareem is a franchise developer in Massachusetts for a revolutionary real estate company. He's the owner of a cleaning company with multiple locations in Eastern Canada, and he's a full-time globetrotter. He started his career again in sales and marketing, first in France, then in Alberta, Canada, before moving to Halifax 5 years ago, where he launched his first business and became passionate about entrepreneurship. He grew again by systemizing, automating, and delegating. And he has a mantra, work to live, don't live to work. We'll hear more about Kareem on the other side of this message.
Knock out your competition with All Together Marketing. We elevate your brand. Take a stance with your business name, logo, the tagline, your colors, even the fonts for your business. And then jab left with your website. Jab right with core values. Back up with product experience and bring it on with you. Visit alltogether.biz and let us help you create a knockout brand.
More about Kareem. In 2018, while managing a small crew selling home automation across Canada, he decided to start a residential commercial cleaning company in Eastern Canada called Steammates because the demand was there, which then grew quickly in a couple of cities across Canada and $500,000 in revenue annually, while requiring very little of his involvement as an owner. Remember that. In 2022, he decided to sell the majority of stocks in Steammates in order to focus on his newest venture, franchise development in Massachusetts, for an amazing company called The Property Guys. Now, Kareem, welcome to the Business Chop.
Thank you for having me, Audrey, and thank you for this great introduction. I'm excited for our conversation.
Yes, me too. Let's get chopping, or let's chop it up, as I like to say. All right, so let's open up your background and then go into, what you're doing and how that changes things, and get some folks maybe interested in franchising. Maybe they haven't thought about that as a business model.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a great option for someone who wants to get their first business, but they just don't know, what to do, how to start, and so on. It is a great option for someone who wants to get into real estate, but they don't want to be a real estate agent like everyone else. And it is also a great option for, entrepreneurs and business owners who might be looking for their 10th venture, and they probably don't want to be necessarily hands-on. They want to grow, a model that has already been perfected over 25 plus years, as you mentioned, and they want something that works, basically. So, pretty much any kind of aspiring or seasoned entrepreneurs.
In my review of reading your bio, we talked about you living in different places, and talk about that a little bit too, and how that can relate to the type of businesses that we might choose to get involved in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I caught the travel bug, I would say about 8 years ago. At that time, I was working in sales on commission. So I was, working for a few months, making great commission, then traveling, the rest of the year. But that was a model that was not really sustainable long term. So I figured I should have something that I can work on as I'm traveling and potentially even traveling year round. So that was a while ago. I didn't, you know, expect to actually be living this dream really of mine now a few years later. And so that turned out to be by starting my first business for unrelated reason. I started my first business, as you mentioned, because there was a real need in that new city I just moved in, Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. I just moved there and I noticed a big demand in cleaning for good, high standard, reliable cleaning. And I figured, hey, you know what, let's start something. I didn't have much money at that time because I just came back from traveling. and I didn't have experience actually in entrepreneurship per se. I had experience in business and in sales. Sales experience, I guess, was all I needed at that time. Because in a lot of service, you know, in the service industry, in a lot of business and business models, you don't actually need massive investment. You don't need much, you know, preparation or research or market research or anything like that to start a business. In the case of a cleaning company, but it's not unique to the cleaning industry. Had to buy a bunch of supplies, you know, get a couple of clients. It was really not that hard to get the first few clients. You can find clients easily on Craigslist, on Facebook, you know, in your network and so on.
Right.
And then get the ball rolling with the initial profit, maybe start do some invest in better equipment, start advertising and so on and so forth. Long story short, the business grew 150% each year for the first 3 years consistently.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was just with that same model. I didn't take any investment. I didn't take any loan or anything like that. Just reinvesting a large portion of the profit and starting to delegate and automate the systems, the way of doing every part of the business, not just the cleaning, but also, you know, the marketing, the admin and so on. And as you do those two things in parallel, you can really grow, I think, a whole lot of different type of businesses this way. But back to your question, it just so happened that at the same time, I was pretty much removed from the day to day of the business, I got another opportunity, and that's the one with Property Guys. Mm-hmm. And since I was so close to, you know, being able to work and travel, you know, worldwide right away, I took that opportunity as a remote job. I don't want to call it a job, but basically I made the decision very early on that I'm not going to relocate to Boston and, you know, have an office there and so on and so forth.
Right.
But I'm going to work on that opportunity remotely. Mm-hmm. And so as I was doing that, Stimits was also doing well. It also just so happened that when I was at the, you know, right position, I was already working from home basically for both businesses. I got introduced to who ended up becoming my wife, and she was abroad as well. So everything is remote for me. and very quickly we knew we were going to get married. So actually, I joined her in her country. At that time, she was in Kuwait, and we got married right then and there. And since instead of coming back to Canada or Massachusetts. We never came back. We've been traveling since. It's been a year, and it's been 16 months now that we've been traveling. And as you mentioned, right now in Malaysia.
Wow. So when you're traveling, you're just going to places that you just want to see. You know, these are like ultimate vacation spots every month, every weekend, or how does paint that picture a little bit more.
Absolutely. So that's one way of doing it. And I know people who do that. And I think it is doable. It's a little bit more challenging than the way I do it. I like to, and that's independent from my businesses. That's the way I like to travel, is to stay semi-long-term in each places from, you know, multiple months up to a year. Malaysia, we do intend to stay here for a full year. Kuwait, before that, I was there for 7 months. Mm-hmm. In every country I've been to, I stayed for at least 1 month, because in my opinion, that's the best way to really absorb, you know, the culture, meet the locals, and really get a feel of that country and the way they live and so on and so forth. And really also get to see not just the 1, 2, 3 touristic spots, But really, even the hidden gems that you can find in every city, in every, you know, places.
Yeah.
So that's the way we're doing it. We're actually pretty, you know, well settled here. We've been for 7 months here in Malaysia. We get the opportunity to go every so often. I went to Cambodia a couple of weeks ago, Laos a few weeks ago, Thailand. So it's a kind of a stepping point. No, that's not how you say it. Anyways,
yeah.
to go around and orbitate to all the countries around. And same thing when I was in Kuwait, went to Saudi Arabia, I went to Dubai and so on. Mm-hmm. That's the way I like to do it.
Yeah, that I like that, because you know, that's a newer way or a better way of thinking, because we don't have to have roots like right here or wherever, you know, where we are. We've been here all our lives, or we grew up at a place. We do need to spread our wings, and I like that.
Yeah, and actually on top of that, it's also not only so better in terms of traveling and experience and so on, but it's also a lot cheaper when you think about it, because not only those countries are super cheap, we're talking a quarter of the cost of living in North America, literally a quarter. But on top of that, you're saving on a lot of back and forth trips. You know, people who go for 2 weeks here and there, you know, that flight from the US to whether it is Mexico or Australia, I don't know. It's pretty pricey when here to go to the neighboring countries, to go to Thailand and Laos and so on. We're talking less than $100 for those flights.
Yeah.
You know, so at the end of the day, I also guess that it's, you know, I'm very grateful to have that opportunity. It is not given to everyone, because you need to be able to work remotely, obviously, and be consistent with that. But not only that, and when I say work remotely, by the way, we have 12 hours difference right now. So work remotely, in my case right now, mostly in the evening. So if you need your 8 or 9 hours of sleep at night, might not be for you either. Maybe you should go somewhere in your same time zone. What I was going to say is also we're newly married and we don't have kids. That's also a big factor. Once you include some kids in the equation, it can get a little bit more tricky, but not impossible.
Yes, right, exactly. Not impossible. So maybe you just limit those 2 or 3 months to when school is out or something. That'll end up being a venture for your kids, you know, raising that next generation up, you know, to that mindset. So tell us about the technology that you're using to do this remotely. Obviously, we're on Zoom now for this interview. Yeah. But as far as working, you know, how does that work? You stay in touch with your teams or your clients?
Yeah. So you got it right. I'm spending a lot of time on Zoom and emails and, you know, and text. When you're abroad, you need a local number, and obviously, you're not going to pay for a phone line in every country you're in. So for those who are not aware, there are lots of free phone numbers that you can get in any, pretty much any country, and specifically US, Canada, and so on, European countries. It's an app where you can, as I said, have a local number from the city you want. And when I say it's free, it goes through, you know, through the internet, through Wi-Fi. So as long as you have Wi-Fi or data where you are, and for, you know, the person you're calling, looks like you're there physically. So I have, you know, a number for Boston. I have one number for Halifax, and so on. I have about 4 different numbers. Besides that, for communication, we use Slack quite a bit for the teammates. Teammates, that's the one where I have a team. Property guys, I don't yet have a team. I use some VAs and some various, you know, type of VAs. But for teammates, I do have a pretty large team in Halifax. We have another team in Ottawa. We're planning on opening a new team in Toronto soon. And for that, Slack has been the best, one of the best tools that we've been using for all kind of internal communication. Are you familiar with Slack, by the way?
I am. I don't use it. I don't have a team yet, but I'm very familiar with it, with just reading up, because I like to stay up on the different technologies for business. Yep, definitely.
Yeah, it's like WhatsApp or any kind of group chat, but on steroids, because you can create different type of channels and tasks directly on it and so on. So that's one tool that I highly recommend. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And besides that, sorry, I mentioned VAs. I do use VAs for various things, from web design, SEO, sometimes social media. I've used some for even cold calling. So I try, you know, you can find VAs for pretty much anything. Okay. And you can try things, you know, often VAs, if you do your recruiting right, I do it on Upwork usually. You can find people for as cheap as, you know, $3 to $5 to $6 an hour. Okay. And so you can give them any kind of task. You can find someone for whatever remote, you know, a digital need that you have. And again, I insist on doing the recruiting right, finding the right people, because you can lose a lot of time and money if you're, you know, choosing the wrong person, just like any time of recruiting, obviously. But they can be, you know, an amazing, you know, asset for your team if it's someone dedicated, experienced, and so on. And most of them are, by the way. So have you ever used virtual assistants yourself?
No, I haven't. But I am looking into doing it. Absolutely. Yeah, because it's getting to that point where I do need some extra help on things, some of those day-to-day things, especially when you're doing, you know, podcasting and yeah. like you said, keeping up to date with your social media. It's very important.
Communicating with your guests.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
After the show, I'd be happy to introduce you to some, you know, vetted VAs, whether local or worldwide. Mm-hmm. And the platform that I use, the one that I use the most, is called Upwork. Okay. If you heard of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So for your audience, if they're looking. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Let's reconnect then after an interview for sure. Yeah.
100%.
How do people find these types of opportunities if they want to be? I know we're, you know, Property Guys is definitely, you know, probably looking, you know, for franchisees or franchisers. I don't, give me the right term there.
Franchisees.
Okay. And so how do we actually, you know, find that opportunity? And because people always are looking for to do something different, or maybe they're a real estate agent and they want to get out of that, you know, mold or real estate, and want to do something that might be more fun.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great question. So specifically regarding, because it would take an hour if I were to give you all my tips on how to find opportunities. That's something I love to talk about. Maybe we'll do a second episode about that.
Yeah.
But regarding the Property Guys opportunity specifically, and even I would say franchise at large. So I'm going to talk about Property Guys just for those who are not aware of what Property Guys does and then what the opportunity is. So what Property Guys has been doing now for 25 plus years, it's to offer an alternative way of buying and selling real estate. Instead of the traditional model where, say, you want to sell your house, you get a realtor, pay a commission, then you get a lawyer and a photographer and a stager and an appraiser and so on and so forth. It costs a lot of money. You have to, you know, gather a whole bunch of people. Typically, when I say it costs a lot of money, I mean, we're talking anywhere between 30 to 80 grand as a window. It can be even more than that if it's a you know, very large property. So what Property Guys does, they include all the services that you need. So you can choose a package with as much or as little service as you need to sell your property efficiently. And it can be a package with all the services. So very similar to the traditional model, except that it is for a one-time flat fee. And that one-time flat fee is about 5 grand on average, no matter the value of your property. So you save at minima 15 grand upward of 50 grand saved that stay in your pocket. And that's really what has made the success of Property Guys, in addition to being able to keep the level of control you want. Because a lot of people, they want to be able to potentially, you know, do their own showings or, you know, take their own pictures and so on. They don't want to delegate everything and have pretty much no control in the process. So really that's what Property Guys came to fix. And as I said, has been doing that very successfully, initially in Canada. It's coast to coast everywhere in Canada. It's a very known brand, and the sign here is very recognizable. But we've been expanding that opportunity to the US, and I'm in charge specifically of Massachusetts. So looking for franchisees, as you said, it can be a real estate professionals. Usually that they are amongst the best fit, real estate agents, mortgage brokers, real estate investors, but not only, any kind of aspiring entrepreneurs, as I mentioned initially, can be a really good fit for this model. And what they get as a franchisee is an exclusive territory. So a piece of the map where they are the only one, think being the only REMAX agent in a whole, you know, county. And in this exclusive territory, they grow the property gas model based on all the systems and processes that have been perfected for over 25 years. So you just follow, you know, the steps, you do, you know, what needs to be done, and you will be successful. It's you know, it's a given.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's awesome then. So what's the fastest road to get there? Or what do you even before we ask that, so what do you see as the future of real estate in North America?
Well, you know, the real estate industry is changing. It hasn't changed in over 100 years, but now more and more and faster it is changing. And specifically, if I have to pinpoint something, it is this concept of commission that is that people are, you know, revolting again. I mean, it made sense 100 years ago. It doesn't really make sense anymore for so many reasons. And I don't know if you heard, there has been a major case against Keller Williams and all the big names of real estate very recently, where it's actually a class action lawsuit that is, you know, very clearly showing that people are tired of those commission. You see more and more discount brokerages, you know, going from 6% to 2 or 1%, which shows the trend, but doesn't really solve the problem at its root. So that's why, you know, property guys have been again successfully for 25 years taking the problem at its root and just changing the way we look at real estate, putting the client first, the needs of the client first, and it's working. Because at the end of the day, franchisee, to be successful, I mean, when you think about it, they have to work on a large volume of clients, and so on average they work with about 100 listings a year and a similar number of buyers. Yeah, that's about 10 times more than any given agent or majority of agents, right? Yeah. So it shows that people do, you know, take part of this vision. I think it is the future for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you think about the real estate climate now, the housing market? What's going on?
That's one thing where it's not really my expertise. I don't really follow the trend of real estate because my focus, I was doing that for a while, but I'm not an agent and I'm not a franchisee either. So my focus is not really on the real estate itself. I stay up to date, obviously, but my focus is more on the trend of, you know, entrepreneurship and businesses and so on, because I'm looking for a franchisee. However, because I target specifically real estate agents, it is such an amazing opportunity for real estate agents. I do talk to a lot of agents, and so that's kind of my way of keeping, you know, my finger on the pulse of the industry. And you know, a lot of people currently, at least in Massachusetts, are kind of struggling, especially if they've been in the industry for less than 5 years, because not only it's a very overcrowded industry. To give you an idea, in Eastern Massachusetts, we have 27,000 agents, which is nuts when you think about it, in that small piece of the map. And the vast majority of them, over 90% of them, are barely making a living or, you know, barely breaking 50 or 60K a year. And that comes from the fact that they need to differentiate themselves, you know, and how do you do that when everyone has the same value proposition? You can use John, Mary, or Cindy, and you're going to get the same results. You're going to get your house bought or sold for 5%. Everyone does that. So so that's one reason why real estate agents are highly attracted to today's opportunity when I talk to them. And vice versa, you know, we had about a year ago a very hot market, I think everywhere in North America, where you just have to, you know, put a sign on your front lawn and the house is, you know, get 10 offers within a week. Well, similarly, in this case, it's not the agent. The agents were glowing because they were making a ton of money for a few days of work. But in this case, the clients were pretty unhappy to have to spend, again, 20, 30, 50 grand for 2 days of work, 1 week of work. It just doesn't make sense, right?
Right.
That's my take on the industry. But again, the real estate industry itself, not my top expertise.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, I really appreciate the, you know, the answer that you gave and, you know, and your honesty with that. How can or people get in touch with you? They're at Property Guys. Where can we send folks?
Yeah, for sure. So usually the best way to connect with me personally, it's on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn, and anyone in North America or even worldwide who want to reach out, you can just type my name, Karim Qureshni, should be somewhere in the title on LinkedIn, and I'm the only one, so you're gonna find me easily. yeah, that's a perk of having an odd name, I guess.
Okay. A unique name, not odd.
A unique name. Okay, that works. but for regarding the property guys opportunity, you don't even need to reach out to me directly. There are lots of resources online. So if you Google Property Guys Massachusetts or Property Guys Franchise, you're going to find not only my website, Property Guys website, which has even more resources. And so you can do already some research even before talking to me. We're super transparent. There is a ton of materials that you can research. And if you feel that it might be a good fit for you, definitely reach out. I like to always highlight that I'm not a salesperson. I'm not there to push those franchise on anyone.
Okay.
Because it's in no one's best interest to not be a good fit. I'm looking for people who are a good fit, and we are a good fit for them. Otherwise, you know, it's not a win-win, and I like win-wins.
Absolutely, yes. that avoids all the miscommunication and the struggle. Yeah, all the negativity is eliminated. Yeah,
exactly.
So what advice do you have as an entrepreneur, you know, for folks, you know, looking for, you know, life-changing opportunities or just in general, what's your final advice for us?
I have many coming to mind, so I'm going to try to pinpoint just
if you have three, that's fine.
All right. I'll take three.
Okay.
I would start with, you know, a lot of people do want to own a business, to start their own business, to acquire a business, but they usually have this paralysis either at the face of finding what to do or researching the industry, the market, how to get started and so on, or, you know, at the first challenge. And what I would want to say is that, first of all, you should just go ahead, not take too long in you know, doing too much research. I mean, on my end, in pretty much every opportunities in my life, if I feel, you got to follow your instinct. If you feel that it is a good opportunity, you do the minimum due diligence and just go for it, because you know you might miss out on that opportunity and regret it for the rest of your life, or you might overthink a lot of things. Similarly, if you have your first challenge, you got to expect challenges. Whether you know you're an entrepreneur or you know any kind of business owner or just in business in general, expecting ahead of time those challenges to come gives you a lot of peace of mind and coolness when you're facing them, and you can face those challenges heads on, because it is the best way to learn is to go through those struggles and you know this sweat and tears. And blood, sweat, and tears that you're going to be facing. But if you want to avoid a lot of costly mistakes that startups and new businesses make, in this case, I do highly recommend franchise. I think it is very much a great way to go, because not only you reduce drastically the overall cost. Yes, it costs money to own a franchise, but when you compare that to the costly mistake you might make with your own brand, the ton of advertising you might make just for people to know that you exist, and so on and so forth. It reduces the cost and it reduces the risk, because you know what there is to do. If you follow the processes, if it's a good franchise model, there is pretty much no reason for you not to be successful. So I highly recommend for someone, Property Guys might not be a good fit for you, that's fine. Still look into getting a franchise, because as a first-time entrepreneur, I think it's very much the great way to go and to learn the industry and how to grow a business and so on. And it doesn't mean it's a forever thing. It can be for 5 years or so, and then you move on to something else.
Yeah. Yep. And that's key, what you just said there, because that goes back to some information that we covered in the intro about, you know, not being stuck or feel like you have a ball and chain in this one particular business venture. You know, because people sometimes you do have things going on in their minds. Hey, I would really like to try that or to do that, and they don't know how to do that. Or they feel like, well, maybe I shouldn't, and this thing over here is working. But yeah, so we do. Thank you for that. You know, open up our minds.
Of course. And similarly, it's funny that you mentioned that because it made me think. So if you don't mind, my first business, the cleaning company, we are in process of, you know, looking to sell it. And it's actually the opposite effect. I'm very detached from it in the sense of I love the business. You know, I grew it from scratch. It's like my baby. But also, you know, it is a business. And I think the goal of one goal of a business, at least for, you know, our generation, it is not to have it for 30 years and, you know, die, you know, running that business. For me, it was a great opportunity, you know, made some money. I got a team that, you know, now rely, you know, employees that rely on this job and so on. It's working well. Let's give it, you know, pass the ball to someone else who can take it to the next level.
Right.
Selling it. I kind of have this this mindset where a business is just, you know, you're doing part of the journey of this business that has a whole life. You're doing, you know, part of it, and then you pass it along to someone who can do, you know, can do even better and take it to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, I like that answer. So if you don't mind closing out with your mantra.
Yeah, so work to live, to be able to live instead of living just for the sake of your work. That's one of them. Actually, the other one that ties even better to what we discussed, growth exists or lives outside of your comfort zone. And a lot of ways we can be stuck in your, there are lots of ways you can be stuck in your comfort zone and not take risks and try new things. When you do, you realize that was, you know, best decision in your life. That's where you grow as a person and for your business and your family.
Wow. Thank you. Chop Squad, you've heard it. These mantras, take her in seriously. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for having me, Audrey. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to The Business Chop. We hope that you were able to glean valuable information from our guest and that you will download and share this podcast. Your rating and review is much appreciated. To go deeper with our guests, please visit their website and social channels. To learn more about us, please visit businesschop.info or altogether.biz, where we will help you expand your brand. Mm-hmm.